Praise God. You know, the name of the church that I'm pastoring in California, that is east of LA, that is 25 miles east of LA, it's called the City of Industry. And maybe you're familiar with the places like West Covina. You've heard that? Mm-hmm. West Covina, Diamond Bar, Walnut, La Puente, that area. So the other church, the Torrance Church, is something like 35 miles from our place. And the Seat of Industry Church was founded by the Lord 4 years ago. And we will be having our fourth year anniversary this coming November 21. That's why I'm also inviting Pastor Nono Gabor to be our speaker. And he's too praying for that, I don't know. But I'm inviting him because I want to share, you know, the goodness of God in this ministry with, you know, with my friends in the ministry. And he's a part of, you know, of the ministry in even in our prayers for expanding the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, like your pastor, I really like him. I respect him in such because he's a church planter. His desire is to plant churches. Mm. And that is my desire too. And this coming November 24 and November 14, we will be opening another church 25 miles inner of our place, east of our place. That's the place called Rancho Cucamonga. And we will be starting a church this November 14. So we'll be launching another church in November 14. So praise the Lord. And I believe that this is what God has called us. God has called us to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that is the primary call of the church. The primary call of the church is to plant churches and bring the gospel, the good news of salvation to everyone who will believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm pleased to be here. And I always love to teach the Word of God.
Amen.
Because this is the only means by which a person can be saved. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So if you will, please stand with me, and we're going to pray. Let's come to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we would like to acknowledge your presence. And this is about you, Lord. It's not about us. We want to come and engage in your word, because your word are life. They're not just letters. They are life according to the scripture. They are the Holy Spirit's life. And every time we speak the word and we preach the word and we read the word, basically the Lord is talking to us. And Lord, I pray as he talks to us, as you talk to us this morning, this evening through your word, I pray that our heart would be obedient enough to obey them, because they are your words and they are life. Father, we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give a hand of praise to God. Now, do you have your Bibles with you?
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
I think that's the most important question that I have to ask you. Do you have your Bibles with you? Now, my text this morning, this evening is found in Hebrews chapter 6. And it is found in Hebrews 6 verses 4 to 6. Now, I'll be talking about the word apostasy. Are you familiar with the word apostasy? So what's the meaning of apostasy? It's a falling away, okay? It's a falling away from the faith. Okay. Now this morning in Brother Nono's church in FCC, I speak about, you know, hearing, giving us the Lord giving us the ears to hear. It was in Mark. The text was Mark chapter 4. It's a parable of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the parable is about evangelism. How people would respond to evangelism. Okay, so the teaching of the parable of the Lord Jesus Christ is about evangelism. It's the response of people to the word of God. So you have there the hard soil, the thorny, the rocky, and the good soil. And most of the time we have this idea that the part of the soil is about, there are four kinds of soil, right? But I believe as you study well the scripture, Jesus gave us only two kinds of soil, the productive and the unproductive, right? Mm-hmm. The unproductive, under the unproductive falls the hard, the thorny, and the rocky. The productive, under the productive falls the 30-folder, the 60-folder, and the 100-folder, right? So, my text tonight in Hebrews 6 corresponds to that passage in the scripture about the parable. Because I'll be discussing about people who will fall away. Who are these people? And according to the parable of the soil, the falling away or the people who apostatize falls under the category of those unproductive soil, right? So Hebrews 6, verses 4 to 6 says, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God, and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their laws they are crucifying the Son of God all over again, subjecting Him to public disgrace. Now the text sounds as if it is a believer just backsliding, right? But I tell you, a backslider is different from an apostate person, okay? Apostasy, a person who can commit apostasy or fall away from the faith, are people who have not really committed their life to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it is sad to see and hear about the people close to your heart within the body of Christ drifting away from the faith and never see them restored. Do you have friends like that? I have so many friends like that. I went back to the Philippines a few months back and I was surprised to see in the church where God has called me to pioneer, and the family that I have ministered to, spent my time for years in a Bible study, baptized them, the whole family I baptized in water, and it is sad to see that they are not in the church anymore. They're not there. And they said the whole family just went back to the world. Oh. So that is apostasy. Now, how does this happen? How does a person who has evidenced apparent faith in Christ and faithfulness in Him apostatize or fall away from the living God? But it is a reality, brothers and sisters. It does happen. Sin is like that. A heart that once seemed warm cools so gradually. It is a gradual process. The cooling down usually manifests in the appetite of to reach God's Word. Right? They lose the appetite of reading God's Word. Mm-hmm. Prayers becomes infrequent and irregular. Worship becomes boring. And all kinds of excuses are found not to be with fellowship with believers. And they start to see things, you know, I don't like to go to the church anymore because everybody there is hypocrites. Mm-hmm. They would say that, right? And who told you we're all hypocrites before, right? Mm-hmm. We're all unbelievers. Mm-hmm. Because the church is composed of unbelievers, sinners, mm-hmm. saved by grace alone. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Yeah. So don't look for a perfect church. Can I take this off? It's getting hot.
It's warm.
It's warm.
The Spirit is around.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. So the falling away is being manifested in the cooling down of their appetite of worship, of fellowship, and the heart becomes colder and colder, and the voice of God heard through the preaching of the Word no longer has its former effect, right? Mm-hmm. Instead, the voice of the world becomes stronger, and the pull is irresistible, and the world begins to look more appealing. Amen. One sin leads to the next. You know what? And the second becomes easier than the first. That is apostasy. The Spirit's conviction thins away And eventually, the church realizes that one of her own has been overtaken by evil, unbelieving heart. And a church member falling away and found crucifying according to the scripture, the Son of God all over again, subjecting him to public disgrace. They lost their testimony, and they would damage the testimony of the church. Now, this is the heart of the warning against apostasy. Okay? It applies to I believe, a class of people whom it is impossible to restore to repentance. Amen? Just like I would like to give you an example of an apostate people in the time of Christ. They were the religious leaders, right? So the gospel writer presented the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah. We have the testimony of the Father during the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God. We have the testimony of John, that He is the love of God who takes away the sin of the world. We have the testimony of the work of Christ, calling people unto Himself. And that is a power of God, right? You just cannot call people to follow you. And we have the testimony of the demons, that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In the synagogue, when Jesus went to His synagogue, as His custom was, according to Luke, and He preached, and He opened the scripture of the book of Isaiah. And we have the testimony of the demons, that He is the Son of God. We have the testimony of the miracles, that thousands and multitudes were following the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Now, after He preached, and after He said that He forgave people's sin, this religious leader starts to accuse Him of blasphemy. And He attributed, and they attributed, the work of God to a work of a demon. Mm-hmm. Right? So Jesus said, all sin can be forgiven. If you sin against God, you can be forgiven. If you sin against the Son of God, you can be forgiven. But if you sin against the Holy Spirit, you will never be forgiven. And that is apostasy. Why? Because people are convinced that He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. They cannot deny the miracles. But they attributed it to the work of the devil. So they deliberately rejected the message and the messenger and the Messiah Himself. Therefore, the sin of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit can never be forgiven, because the Lord will take them farther from the truth. That's why He started to preach in parables, so that people will not understand, so that these religious people will never understand Him. The purpose of why the Lord preached the parable, to cut them farther from the truth. And Jesus said, I have nothing to do with these people who have deliberately rejected Me as the Son of God. That's why an apostate people, there is no way for them to be saved, because it is a deliberate rejection. Now, Hebrews is a very clear passage, brothers and sisters, that there will be an apostate there will be many apostates in the church. Right? An apostate is an unbeliever who is convinced intellectually of the basic truths of the gospel, but who have not placed his faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. He is intellectually persuaded, but spiritually uncommitted. Amen? Amen? Now, what are we doing about this as a church? I believe it is a moral victory for the church not to lose who are in danger of falling away. Therefore, we need to wake up to the reality that unbelief can overtake the heart of any professing Christian. Professing Christian is different from committed Christian, right? Anybody can profess to be a Christian. We must also realize that the fight against apostasy is every Christian concern, and not just that of the church pastor, but that of the whole church.
Amen?
Amen? Your prayers and daily concern for one another will help the church fight against apostasy. Right? Now, apparently, these people had once repented, but it was incomplete repentance. It clearly stated that renewed repentance is impossible according to Hebrews 6. Now, who are these people? Now, the answer is given to us in verse 4 to 6. Examining the great privileges which they enjoyed, it should be noticed that all these things can be true of the unsaved. It is never clearly stated in the text that they had been born again. Neither is any mention such as essential of saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now first, going back to our text, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened. They have been enlightened, okay? Now how is a person enlightened? How is a person enlightened? Now we have heard from our unbelieving friends say, "Oh, Pastor, I was enlightened with your preaching." Okay? They would say that. They would say after a sermon. And when they happened to be around in many Christian services, it was a very enlightening service, they would say. Okay? Well, that's consistent with the definition of the word enlightenment, which means to give clarifying information or to free somebody from ignorance. That's enlightenment. That's the definition of enlightenment. To free us from ignorance, prejudice, or superstition. But the danger to that is that a person is freed from ignorance, prejudice, or superstition. In other words, they heard the gospel of the grace of God and were intellectually convinced. They were not in darkness concerning the way of salvation. Judas Iscariot had been enlightened. Do you believe that?
Amen.
He was an enlightened person. Well, in fact, he was one of the 12. He was given the power to preach the gospel. He was given the power to heal the sick, to cast out demons in the name of Jesus. And he was a perfect apostate. Amen? He was being enlightened by the gospel, but he rejected the light. And who is the light? Jesus. "I am the light of the world," Jesus declared. He is the light. The problem is not being enlightened to the truth about Christ, but I tell you, the refusal to embrace Christ. That's the problem. Now, why am I preaching this on churches, to churches? Because we have to heed the warning of the Lord Jesus Christ that there will be tears and weep in our churches. Amen?
Amen.
There will be weep and tears. Now, understanding the words of the scripture is not the same as being regenerated by the Holy Spirit. To be enlightened is different from being born again. Right, Brother Nono? Now, John wrote, "Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were what?
Evil.
They love sin." Now, if you're a Christian and you still love sin, there's a problem. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. There's a problem. Now, I always ask this question. What is appealing about heaven? Does everybody here wants to go to heaven?
Yeah.
Amen. We should be excited to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is appealing about heaven? And I receive a variety of answers when I ask this question. And most of the time we say, you know, there's a peace, there's joy, there's goodness of God. That's true. And some people would say, "Pastor would like to go there because Jesus said, we have mansions over there. And the streets are gold, according to Revelation. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's a little bit materialistic, right? No condemnation, of course you like good things. But you know what? I'm telling you. What is the first message of Christmas? The gospel writer said he came to save their people from what? From their sins. Now to me, what is appealing about heaven is this. It is a place with the absence of sin.
Amen.
Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. You are in this world, living in this world, minus sin. Mm-hmm. We won't have a problem, right? Mm-hmm. Thank you. We won't have a problem. Because sin brings on the problem in this world. Now, in other words, brothers and sisters, by God's sovereign power, every man has enough light to be held responsible. Amen? We have the general revelation of God according to Paul in Romans 1:18. But we people of God has a special revelation. And that is the word in the scripture. Amen? But the Bible says, even though you don't have the scripture, the special revelation, you have no excuse of refusing God because He reveals Himself in what we see around us. Amen?
Amen.
So, someone asked me, Pastor, so you mean to say that people who have not heard the gospel will go to heaven? And I think I said, God will not send innocent people to hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, are there innocent people? And the Bible says, no, not one. Not even one. So people who doesn't hear the gospel, they will be judged by what they see. Because of the revelation of God. Amen? Mm-hmm. That's what the scripture says. Yeah. In Romans 1:18. Mm-hmm. People suppress the truth. Now who can suppress the truth? Those people who know the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can suppress the truth unless you know the truth. And the truth is revealed around us. So that man is without excuse according to Romans 1:20. So none of us will be excused that God does not exist. We are living in a day and age of atheistic mindset around us, people with an atheistic mindset. But I tell you, I don't believe in atheism, because even atheists have their God. Who is their God? Themselves. Amen? And that is consistent with what Satan said to Adam and Eve. You will become like God. You get that?
Mm-hmm.
So even atheists, they believe in God. But their God is yung sarili nila.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty scary thought, right? Now, here in John, he said, light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. John described Jesus as the true light that gives light to every man. But this doesn't mean because not every will choose to be saved. Amen? This life either leads to complete acceptance of the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, or it will produce condemnation in those who will reject the light. And this is what the Hebrew writer is describing us tonight. They have the light. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened. They were enlightened with the truth about the scriptures. In other words, with all you know, if you turn your back on this, you could never be saved. Why? Because if you reject the full light, how could you ever be saved? Amen? And the Hebrew writer starts with his apologetics in Hebrews 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets in many times in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And after He provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven, so He became as much superior to the angels the same as He has inherited His superiors as theirs. So He opened the book of Hebrews presenting the Lord Jesus Christ as the ultimate answer to man's dilemma, which is sin. Amen? Now secondly, He said, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, and secondly, who have tasted the heavenly gift. Now, how did they taste? How have they tasted the heavenly gift? Who is the heavenly gift? Jesus, right? Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is the heavenly gift. Colossians 2:8. It is the gift of God. Paul described Christ as the indescribable gift in 2 Corinthians 9:15. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in who? In Christ Jesus our Lord. He's the gift. So they have tasted the heavenly gift. These people who come to our church who profess to be Christian, they come to the front. When a pastor would invite them to come to the front and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would come. But I tell you, I won't give any judgment for those who will come to the front and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm not God. I cannot see the heart of a person. But we have a warning here. Jesus said, you can see them by their fruit, right? So they come to the church. They would receive the Lord Jesus Christ. They tasted the heavenly gift. They received the Lord. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Through faith in who? Christ is the gift of God. They had tasted of Him, but had never received Him by a definite act of faith. That's the big question mark. You know the Lord, but have you received Him? It is possible to taste without eating or drinking. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Costco? You go there and just taste. But actually, you're not eating, you're just tasting, right? So you taste it, I don't like it, I won't buy it. So that's the principle. So, it is possible to taste without eating or drinking. They have a momentary and brief experience with the heavenly gift and are not seen as equivalent to salvation. Rather, I would like to liken it to the second and third soil in the parable of the soul, which describe people who receive the truth of the gospel, but they are not saved. Mm. What is the second? What is the parable of the soil? The thorny. They receive the Lord with joy. Mm-hmm. But the deceitfulness of wealth, the worries of life, mm-hmm, choke the word of God. Mm-hmm. These are the apostates. Amen?
Amen?
They have tasted the heavenly gift. They come to the church because they have a problem. They have a problem in finances. They have a problem in their marriage. Mm-hmm. So they resort to go to
the church.
Mm-hmm. And they think that, you know, this Christianity would fix my problem.
Mm-hmm.
And after waiting, after preaching, and after hearing the pastor, you know, Jesus can fix your problem. But He was taking it out of context.
Mm.
Because the pastor said, if you have Christ, Christ would solve it for you. That's right. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to wait.
Yeah.
And these people have been waiting for 3 years, 5 years, 7 years. No answer. Oh, Christianity doesn't work. I will try Buddhism. I will try Mormonism. I will try any isms out there. And all the isms that are there. Out there. And they would jump from one religion to another religion without an answer. These are the definition. This is the description of apostasy. The falling away. Right? Because they're not convinced. Because the Bible says there is a miracle. God, where is my miracle? They couldn't wait. So they fall away. They have a momentary experience with a heavenly gift, but they have not really given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, it is not enough to taste Christ unless we eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood.
Amen.
That is, unless we receive Him as Lord and Savior, we have no life in us.
Amen.
John 6:53. And some of the disciples, according to the account of John, hundreds of them fall away. They have fallen away because they could not take the terms of discipleship. And the terms of discipleship is this: you want to follow me? You want to follow me? Lord said, you have to leave everything. If you cannot hate your brother, your sister, your mother, because of me, you are not worthy of me. And the Lord said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Luke 9. And what happened to Lot's wife? Because she looked back. She became a pillar of salt. Why did she look back? Because she has a lot of property in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
She loved the world. And that is apostasy. That is the characteristic of apostasy. Right? So unless we have Jesus truly in our life, we are in danger of apostasy. You might be hanging around in the church because you just like the fellowship. I like the music. I would always tell my young kids, because they're all in the ministry, music ministry. I have 4 kids. The eldest is doing the keyboard. The second, my 24-year-old daughter is doing the keyboard. The 21-year-old daughter is doing the lead guitar. The 18-year-old daughter is doing the bass guitar. And my 15-year-old son will do the drums. And I would always remind them about their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because salvation is not collective. It's individual. It's personal.
Yes.
I cannot save my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, the thought of apostatizing of many people in the church scares me. Because of the warning of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to eat His flesh and to drink His blood is to believe and receive Him. Thirdly, He said, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit. Now, they have shared in the Holy Spirit. In other words, they had become partakers of the Holy Spirit. Now, you might suspect or conclude that this implies conversion, right? Because they have shared in the Holy Spirit. We must remember, brothers and sisters, that the Holy Spirit carries a pre-conversion ministry in the lives of people. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
What is a pre-conversion ministry? He brings conviction in the lives of people in John 16:8, but not all will respond to His conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear a lot of people, you know, Pastor, I was so convicted with the preaching. And I would ask them that, and what they're going to do about it with that conviction. You can come to the church and would tell your pastor, I'm convicted and convicted. And you would say, I've been born again every Sunday. To be born again is a one-time deal, man. It's a one-time process. It's a one-time moment or event in your life. It's not a Sunday thing. You mean to say you will be born again and again and again and again? No. There is no such thing as born again, again and again. Because once a man is born again, the Holy Spirit now will live within him.
Amen.
Now to partake, according to the our text, they have shared in the Holy Spirit. They have been partakers of the Holy Spirit. Meaning to say, they have received conviction from the Holy Spirit. Because that is the work of the Holy Spirit. To point our conviction to Christ, who died for us. I tell you, the gospel is not a good thing to hear. Why? If you love sin, you don't want to hear the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Because the gospel will tell you you're a sinner. And people don't like to hear that. They don't like somebody telling them, you're a sinner. Who told you I'm a sinner? I'm a good person. That's why in the scripture we find this rich young ruler who came to the Lord, bending his knees and said, Lord, good Lord, what shall I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? And the Lord said, why do you call me good? Only God is good. By that, the Lord means is, have you recognized me as God because you say I'm good? So before you ask about eternal life, you must recognize that I'm good. I'm God. Because you will never have salvation unless you recognize me as God. Because salvation is of God.
Amen?
Salvation is of God. Nobody is saved without the power of God. That's why Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And the parable of the soil, we have the good ground. I tell you, there is no good heart in this world. Not one of us have a good heart. In terms of sin. Because we love sin. That's why you hear pastors falling from their ministry. And you hear pastors sleeping with another man. You see, I won't go down there. I don't want to be specific about that, but we hear this from time to time. And we hear pastors running away from his wife and marry another girl from his own church. Don't tell me, brothers and sisters, you cannot overcome sin. Even believers are overcame by sin if they disobey the word of God.
Amen.
So don't be a superman. Right? So they shared in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit brings conviction in the lives of believers. He sanctifies unbelievers. We see this in a principle in 1 Corinthians 7:14. Paul said in verse there that the believing husband sanctifies the unbelieving wife, or the believing wife sanctifies the unbelieving husband. It doesn't mean that the wife is a believer, automatically the husband will be a believer. No. But the believing person in the equation of marriage puts his wife or his spouse in a position by which God can work in his life to be saved.
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that is partaking of the Holy Spirit. The unbelieving husband or wife partakes of the gift of the Holy Spirit to a believing person in the marriage. Amen? If my wife is blessed, assuming that she is an unbeliever, I am a believer, if God blesses me, she will also be blessed.
Amen.
So meaning she is partaking of the gift of the Holy Spirit imparted upon me. Because the Bible says, He sends rain to the righteous and to the unrighteous at the same time. So we have here the Holy Spirit. We are under the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Today is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads them to repentance and points them to Christ as their only hope. Men may thus partake of the Holy Spirit's benefit without being indwelt by Him. So people can be blessed. People will come to the church for the purpose of, Pastor, ipag-pray mo. that they would, you know, they would, the pastor would pray sincerely that the Lord would, that the Lord will bless them. And after their prayers are answered, they're nowhere to be found. Amen.
Amen.
That is apostasy. That's an example of apostasy. They have fallen away. Because they already got their answers. I have nothing to do now with Pastor Gabor. Because the blessing, I already got my blessing. Bahala na si Pastor Jen. Yeah, bahala na si Pastor. And the Lord will say, I will deal with him. Right? So that is apostasy. Now, fourthly, he said here, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God. Wow. They have tasted the goodness of the Word of God. As they heard the gospel preached, they were strangely moved and drawn to it. Amen? It is a moving experience. They were like seed that fell on the rocky ground. They heard the word and immediately received joy, but they had no root in themselves. They endured for a while, but when tribulation and persecution comes because of the word, they promptly fall away. So they fall away. It's a falling away. That's why it is called apostasy, because it is the falling away. Right? Fifthly, they have tasted the powers of the coming age. Okay. Anong ibig sabihin nito ni Lord? Power here means miracles. They have tasted the miracles of God. They have experienced the miracles of God. The age to come is the millennial age, the coming era of peace and prosperity, when Christ will reign over the earth for 1,000 years. So they have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age. Now, in biblical times, they have already tasted the power of the coming age. What is that? The miracles of the Lord. You know, when the Lord was here, He basically vanished disease in Palestine, right? There was no disease. Every time Jesus comes to a place, He would basically heal everybody. And I tell you, everybody was healed, whether they have faith in God or they don't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's a generous God. Amen? The Bible accounts that there are people who were saved because of their faith, and there are people who were healed not because of their faith. Because He's a generous God. Jesus is just showing us that these things, you know, heaven will be like this. There will be no disease. So they have tasted the power of the coming age. Just like people who come to the church, they're blessed because of the prayers of the righteous people of God. So basically, they come to the pastor, they're sick, and the pastor would lay their hands on these people, and they would get healed. And after they get healed, they would drift away. So they have tasted the power of the coming age. And basically, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He comes back, He will reign in prosperity, and Christ will reign over the earth for 1,000 years. And Satan would not be around, will not be around. He will be chained for 1,000 years. And according to the scriptures, the children will play with their lives in the cobra, right?
Yeah.
Now the miracles which accompany the preaching of the gospel in the early church were a foretaste of signs and wonders which will be performed in Christ's kingdom. And these people, including Judas, had witnessed these miracles in the first century. In fact, they had participated in them. Now, for example, they have tasted the bread during the feeding of the 4,000 and the 5,000. The Savior knew their hearts, that though they had tasted the miracles, they did not really believe in Him. That's why He said in John 6:26, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. People are selfish. Right? And the scripture says, if they fall away after enjoying the privileges just enumerated, it is impossible for them to be brought back to repentance. They have committed the sin of apostasy. That's why the Hebrew writer said, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting Him to public disgrace. Hallelujah. The enormous guilt of apostates is indicated in the words, because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again. And this signifies a deliberate, malicious, spurning of Christ, not just careless disregard of Him, but a deliberate rejection of the Lord Jesus. It indicates a positive betrayal, enjoining forces against Him, and it is something of a ridicule to His person and to His work. Amen? That's why people laugh at the cross, because the way apostates behave. Lastly, I would like to close this lesson tonight in verses 7 to 8. And this is a very good conclusion to that description of an apostate. Land that drinks in the rain, often fallen on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless, as in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Now, you have a perfect analogy there, right? Conclude the reality of apostasy with a powerful analogy to the world of nature. To find a counterpart to the true believer in verse 7, that is a true believer, because a true believer drinks from the rain, the blessings of God. It is a kind of land that is fertile, good ground, ready to be blessed by the Lord, and receives the rain that produces a crop useful to those whom it is farmed. So they reproduce. We reproduce. We reproduce because we are believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a productive Christian life by which we declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the apostate in verse 8, it says here, is like a land that also is well watered, but it bears nothing but thorns and thistles. And thorns and thistles represents sin. Amen? So these people received the word of God. They have tasted, they were enlightened, they have tasted the heavenly gift, they have shared in the Holy Spirit, they have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the age to come, but they produce thorns and thistles. And that is a pretty scary thought. It receives, but never produces anything good. And such land is worthless, it is condemned already, its destiny is to be burned. Now let me close with this tonight, with the warning of the solemn warning of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 7:21-23. And the Lord said, not all who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only those who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. And the Lord said, you know, these people will come to me on that day. He's talking about the judgment day. And these people will come to me, and the Lord said, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Can you just imagine who are these people? These people are very active in the church, right? Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name? But the Lord said, I do not know you. Away from me, you evildoers. it doesn't mean that the Lord don't know them. Because the Lord knows everybody by heart. But what the Lord is saying is, you don't have a relationship with me, right? Everybody knows President Obama, but President Obama doesn't know everybody personally, right? That's the principle. You may know that the president lives in a White House, but you know you can never enter the White House. That's the analogy that we would like to make tonight before I close. But if I know President Obama personally, I can go there with confidence. I can go through the security guard because they know me. I'm a friend of Mr. Obama, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the principle that God is saying here. Matthew 7:21, not all who says to me, Lord, Lord, why do you call me Lord? And they call me Lord, not only Lord, but Lord, Lord. To the nth degree, they would say, Lord, Lord, because he's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. So they recognize him as God because he's Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And yet, Jesus said, I do not know you guys because you don't have a personal relationship with me. You know, you can play church. You can play a Christian as much as you want to play a Christian and play church. But I tell you, there is a day that will come in your life that you will be standing before him. And the Lord would ask you what authority you have to enter my kingdom. I haven't seen my son in your life. And that is a very sovereign statement from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And tonight, brothers and sisters, don't be, you know, don't worry if there are only 20, 30 people coming to this church. Because the Lord wants true believer.
Amen.
He wants quality people coming to his church.
Amen.
And if you want to live your life in complete obedience with the Word of God because you are a Christian, you are a believer, there is no way for God, for this church, but to bless this church.
Amen.
And the parable of the Lord Jesus Christ said, the sower cast the seed and he just went to sleep, and while he is sleeping, the Lord causes those seeds to grow.
Amen.
Right? So don't be bothered if people are not coming to the church. Just be faithful to the preaching of the Word of God, because there is no way for people to be saved but to hear the gospel. And if they hear the gospel, and if we hear, and if we preach the gospel right, people will just come to this church and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
You will notice that in the book of Acts, when Peter preached the gospel, in one day 3,000 were saved. And the Bible says, and the Lord added to them daily. Who is doing the adding?
The Lord.
The Lord, right? It is not the method. It is not the pastor who adds to the church. It is the Lord. And how did the Lord add to the church? Because Peter preached the crucified Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So when we preach the gospel, we preach the crucified Christ. We will not be ashamed to preach the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And that is the work of the church. That is the primary call of the church. So you better start praying and calling people unto the kingdom of God by preaching the gospel and sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Nono cannot do this alone. I'm very honest with the church. I cannot do this alone. Because God has called me to preach and pray for you guys. And some of you here were called to do things in the church. Be faithful for what God has called you to do in the church. You have to find your place in the ministry and just be faithful to the Lord. And the Lord will add to this number daily.
Amen.
Now, you may not see them physically, because Sister Suzette and I have experienced this, and until now, we received some text messages even in the Philippines, and they would text me, you know, Pastor, you don't know me, you might not remember me anymore, but one time, sometime in this month, that year, I was in your church. I hear the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now here in Cebu, I am now a Christian and serving God.
Amen.
Can you imagine that? The Lord will add to our numbers daily. Because it is the Lord who is doing the adding. He has the power to convert people. You don't have the power to convert people. There's only one thing according to the parable of the sower. You have the seed. What is the seed? The word of God. We have the sower. Who is the sower? The preacher. The one who testifies for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the soil. The soil stands for the heart of God.
Amen.
There is the variable in the parable of the soil is the soil. Because the seed of the word, the seed of the word of God will never change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. There is no problem with a sower. You can be a 5-year-old boy, you can be a 10-year-old boy, you can be a 70-year-old guy. If you sow the seed of the word of God, the word belongs to God, and He will be the one to plow, the Holy Spirit will be the one to plow the hearts of every person so that it will become a good ground. And while the Holy Spirit is plowing the heart of people in the church, as you pray for them, as the pastor preaches the word of God, the plowed heart is ready to receive the word of God.
Amen.
And the Lord will cause it to grow.
Amen.
So what? So we are called to what? To pray and to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your work. That is our work. Amen?
Amen.
So pray for one another. Let us all stand. Let us come to the Lord in a word of prayer. Hallelujah. And most gracious and loving Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, that it would concern every one of us for those who have not really received the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father God, that you give us the burden for the lost. You give us, Lord, the heart of Christ. You give us, O God, the heart of Christ for the lost, for our loved ones, for the unsaved loved ones, O God, that we may declare to them by loving them and sharing to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for this church. Father God, I believe that this church will grow. I believe, Father God, that every work of the Lord will grow if the people in the church will be faithful to you, Father. There is no way for them, Lord, to fail because you are the one causing to grow. You are the one causing the seed to grow. And I pray, Father God, even for the leadership of this church, that they will continue to serve you until the day of your appearing, O God. Father, we bless you now. We give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let us give a hand of praise to the Lord.